Recorded for the edification of the body of Christ by Pastor Gordon Gibbs at the Light of Life Ministry Studios in Penrith, New South Wales, Australia. We trust that as you listen, you will be encouraged, inspired, and spiritually enriched.
Pray and seek the face of God to invoke the blessing of God and the assistance of the Holy Spirit so we can better understand the ways of God. Heavenly Father, you've said in your word, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Lord Jesus, you came to teach us, to show us how to think, how to live, how to act. Anoint our hearts and minds with your Holy Spirit this day, that we may better understand the wonders and principles and the ways of God, that we may honour and glorify you in all that we do, all that we say, and all that we think. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Down through the ages, men and women of God have been constantly outstandingly successful, principally because they have apprehended the mind of God for a nation or a city or a situation. God has anointed, in some cases, a specific facet of truth and blown upon it with his mighty Holy Spirit. And spiritual fire has ignited a nation or a city, and revival has broken out, and the nation has been put on its ear and turned upside down for righteousness' sake. The Welsh Revival, Azusa Street, the Lutheran Revival, Pensacola, Toronto, and hosts of others. When France was engulfed in a horrific revolution, with tens of thousands of innocent people being executed, anarchy reigned. The very same time, John and Charles Wesley saved England from the bloody revolution by uniting the nation under the banner of the cross. And that small island nation of England ruled the greatest empire the world had ever known. And it all occurred through the miracle power of God, igniting a man's heart with the great love of God, who then took his message to the world at large. And England became the nation that had ruled the greatest empire in all of history. Because when a nation came under the authority of the British Crown, firstly they put in law and order, and then they sent in the missionaries. And that's why God exalted that nation. Anyone who expects to see miracles through faith in Jesus Christ must firstly understand something about the ways of God. In Psalm 103:7, God made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. I interpret God's ways as being God's principles, his acts as being his methods. Methods change, but principles always remain the same. Let us look at a few Bible methods. The Bible says they laid hands on the sick and they recovered. They anointed with oil and healed them. Jesus spoke the word only, and the centurion's servant, some distance away, was miraculously healed. Jesus spat on the ground, and he anointed the blind man's eye with the spittle and the clay, sent him down to the pool at Siloam. He washed and came back seeing. I haven't tried that method yet. The children of Israel saw the miracles of God, but Moses knew the God of miracles. The underlying principle was unwavering faith in the willingness and ability of God to heal, to save, and to deliver. The woman who touched the hem of his garment, Jesus was quick to inform her it was not touching the hem of his garment that healed her. He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." The ways of God are the underlying principles that cause these things to happen. I do trust that you're looking to God. It's only what God does that really counts. He is the source of our supply. We apply our faith, but it's what he does that is really important. Some years ago, I was to speak at the Perth Concert Hall at a conference. And it's customary for me, before I go on a convention like that, I get aside with God and find the mind of God. And I was praying, and God gave me a word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge was that there would be somebody there 26 years before had a motorcycle accident and smashed up their spine and was deaf in one ear, and God would heal him. Now, when you get a word from God, you don't go around telling people about it. you birth it in the spirit, you hold it before God. You know, sharing a principle that God has given, or a word of knowledge, or a word of wisdom, is like unearthing seed. When I was a little boy of about 3, my father was an engineer, but he loved gardening, and he had a glorious vegetable garden. People would come from miles just to see his vegetables. And one occasion, Dad said to me, he said, Gordon, he said, I'm going to give you a little plot of land, and you're going to grow some vegetables with me. So I got my little spade and threw the sand everywhere, and eventually got the seeds in. And a few weeks later, we were having breakfast. And Dad said, Gordon, all my seeds have come up. Not one of yours has come up. I said, I can't understand it, Daddy. I dig them up every day to see how they're going. That's an analogy of what happens when you get a word from God and you go sharing it around. It's like uncovering seed, and it never germinates, never comes to anything. When you get a word from God, you hold it before God, you hold it before God, until you what I call birth of the Spirit. And the moment will come as you hold it before God when you birth a gift of faith. Prayer is given to birth gifts of faith. The gift of faith is a revelation of something, and you know that it's going to happen. Nothing would ever convince you it won't happen. I'm sure that many of you have the experience of something you've been worried about, very troubled, very concerned, very distressed. You've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And one day, you've got an assurance in your heart, a revelation in your heart. What you're praying about is going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but nothing would ever convince you that it won't happen. And in due time, it does happen exactly as you believe. You've birthed a gift of faith. And so I often am able, not always, but quite often am able to birth a gift of faith. The ways of God in healings and miracles. Jesus came to save us, teach us how to live, how to believe, how to exercise faith. The Bible says Jesus left us an example that we should follow his steps. In John 14:12, Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. The dictionary. A miracle is a supernatural occurrence or act. Anyone who really believes in the Bible and the God of the Bible must of necessity believe in miracles, because the Bible is an account of the miracle-working power of God. From Genesis to Revelation, hundreds, thousands of miracles wrought by the Spirit of God. The philosopher Bernard Shaw, he wrote, a miracle is an event which creates faith. He also said, if other planets are inhabited, they must have made this planet their insane asylum. I think there must be some truth in that. The Bible tells us about the miraculous working power of faith. In John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me, trusting quietly, resting, confident in God, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, we can only ask what the Bible authorizes. The Bible tells us what we can legitimately expect from God in response to faith, what God expects of us. You abide in me and my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Matthew 21:22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, really believing, you shall receive. What we can conceive in our minds and believe in our hearts, we can receive by faith in God. Miracles characterize the preaching of the gospel in the days of Christ, and miracles should characterize the preaching of the gospel today. God is only ever a prayer away, and the prayer of faith instantly brings about the reality of God. God is always present, but it is the prayer of faith that taps into the reality of God. It is the prayer of faith that taps into the resources of God. Jesus said, Fear not, only believe, all things are possible in that believes. The disciples prayed for miracles. In Acts 4:29 and 30, they prayed, Stretch forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of Jesus. And when John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. everything that Adam lost through his sin was restored by Jesus Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. It is a lie of the devil when we think we have to settle for something less than what the Bible says. Mankind has been restored to right standing with God through the power of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. By a sovereign act of God's grace, through the power of the blood, we are made the righteousness of God in Christ. And we have been restored to right standing with God. Therefore, we can ask God for the blessings that we need in accord with his word and will. God has made available the mighty power of faith to meet every level of human need. As Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us what we should believe God for. When I first began to operate in the healing ministry, I didn't believe in praying for healing for somebody if they were unsaved. And I was baptized in the Spirit in 1964, and I had opportunities from time to time to minister in various mainline churches. And I was ministering fairly regularly in a Presbyterian church. And I was very carefully instructed, and nobody was allowed to go down under the power. And I could get one or two words of knowledge. I was put my hands on their head, and someone would hold the microphone under my mouth as I prayed for it. On this occasion, I got a word of knowledge. It was, there's someone here with weak lungs. Out came this young fellow with a thick leather overcoat on. It was winter time, and he came out. I said, what have you come for? He said, well, you said there's somebody here with weak lungs. He said, that's been my trouble from childhood. He said, I get coughs, colds, anything to do with the lungs. He said, I seem to catch it. Then he looked at me very intently, and he said, but I do not believe. I appealed frantically for somebody else with weak lungs, and nobody turned up. You know, when I'm in a jam, I always pass the buck. And so I said to God in my heart, I said, God, this is your word of knowledge. This is the response to your word of knowledge. What are you going to do? And as clear as could be, right into my mind came the words, I'm going to heal him, show my love for him. I took the microphone, I told the people, I said, God's going to heal this young man to show his love for him. You know, one word from God changes your theology. And I put my hands on his head, somebody held the microphone, and as I prayed for him, the power of God hit him, and I held him up by his head. And his head was going back, and his face was beginning to reach for the sky, and two brethren could see I was in trouble, so they rushed up and jacked him up and held him very dignifiedly, and I continued to pray in a dignified way. And when God had finished with him, he shook his head. He said, I've just had a psychological trauma. I said, well, I don't know whether you've had a psychological trauma or not, but I said, breathe down to your boots. And he breathed down. Oh, he said, I haven't breathed like that for years. And then I said to him, I said, would you like to give your life to Jesus? He says, yes, yes. So he gave his heart to the Lord. You know, when people stunned mullets like he was, he'd just been mightily healed by God, mightily touched by God, you give him the 1, 2, 3. And so he gave his heart to the Lord. And afterwards, he was speaking with a youth leader for about an hour about salvation, about the things of God. The sovereignty of God is a miracle of God's grace and mercy in which no faith is contributed by the recipient of the blessing. And generally, it is a result of someone else's faith and prayers. Also, on the other end of the spectrum, at times there seems to be a contradiction or a conflict between very clear Bible principles such as the sovereignty of God and human choice and faith responsibility. Our application of God's principles of faith are sometimes overruled by God's sovereignty. And God doesn't tell us why. As far as we are aware, we've done everything right. But it seems to make no difference. The person dies, or the disease, or the sickness persists. Because God is sovereign, he doesn't always do what our faith tells us what he should do. It's God's prerogative to overrule our faith believing when he sees fit. We apply every principle of faith. We stand upon the word of God. We trust God with our whole heart. as far as we are aware, we are living the life, and everything is, as far as we know, as God would have it be, but God does not respond as we believe he should. In 1989, our eldest son went down with bowel cancer. I cancelled a 10-week tour to America. My wife and I went up to Brisbane and lived with him for 7 months. And over a period of 7 months, he just faded away until we lost him. We quoted every relevant promise. We fasted. We prayed. I pleaded with God. I prayed all night. I did everything I knew how. And yet, we still lost him. Because God is sovereign. He sees what we do not see. He knows what we do not know. I would rather our son die at 38 years of age and be in the kingdom than die at 138 and miss out. You know, he never ever complained. He said to me, he said, Dad, he said, I'd like to live and be your son. I'd like to be a father to my children, a husband to my wife. But he said, if God takes me, I'll see you in heaven. I've known some very dear, precious saints to come under the most severe condemnation because God has not healed them or answered a particular prayer request. They felt that somehow or other they'd failed God, and so he's not responded to their faith. My dear friends, that is a trick of the devil. You know, Christians in such circumstances should not come under condemnation. And they've done everything they can, and yet God does not just answer their prayer. God knows best, although we don't understand why, in that particular case, our faith didn't seem to work. The Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren. If our work is finished, it doesn't matter really how we go. All the disciples except John died violent deaths. There's one thing I do know, I believe. Until my work is finished, God will protect me and look after me, and how I die doesn't matter very much. Needless to say, I've never healed anyone. Only God can heal. If of myself I had healing power, then I would have healed our son. But I do believe that God operates a gift of healing through me, but at all times it's God's gift, it's not mine. It's God's prerogative to heal or not to heal. It's God's prerogative to operate the gift or not to operate the gift. Some years ago, I took a census over a period of about 18 months of people that we'd prayed for. And we discovered about 70% of the people were healed. About half instantly, right before your eyes, that's a miracle. And the rest were gradually healed over a period of time. That is described by the Bible as a healing. Healings take time, but miracles are instantaneous. I have discovered that there are about 24 occasions in the New Testament where people were healed gradually. There were many, many more where people were healed instantly. They are miracles. But healings take time. You take the case of the 12-year-old dead girl that Jesus raised from the dead. The dead girl could not exercise faith. She was dead. Parents could exercise faith. Jesus could exercise faith. Disciples could exercise faith. But as far as the girl was concerned, it was an act of the sovereign grace of God. No participation on her part. So firstly, God occasionally meets people's needs as a result of the sovereign grace of God. No faith uprooted by the recipient of the blessing. That's not the usual, that's the unusual with God. Maybe because God can read something that no man can read, and that is the heart. Secondly, in spiritual healing, God generally meets people's needs in response to faith. Jesus all the time was encouraging people. He not only believed, all things are possible to him that believes. The Bible teaches that God is the answer to every human need. God made himself available in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to meet every level of human need. Every human need is a legitimate call upon the resources of God. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Some years ago, I was taking a series of meetings in the Church of Christ Convention Center in Beaufort Street in Perth. And I had 12 meetings. And the first 11 meetings, there was a particular lady that came out every time for prayer. And she was somewhat crippled. She was bent over. She walked with some difficulty and obviously was in pain. And I prayed for her 11 times. The 12th meeting, I got some words of knowledge, and who do you think came out? Out she came. Well, when you pray for a person 11 times, your stocks are a bit low. So when she came out, I appealed frantically for somebody else with these particular symptoms, symptoms and conditions that I'd announced, and nobody responded. So I prayed for her 3 times and nothing happened. I remember saying in my heart, God, I wish I weren't here. And then the anointing hit me. And I said to her, my dear sister, you must use your faith. A hurt look came all over her face. And there was some chairs on the platform, and she went and sat down just for a minute or so. Then she came back. I knew it was God. I put the microphone under her mouth. I said, my sister, what is it? She said, Pastor, 2.5 years ago, I had an incurable terminal disease, and God healed me. I was healed by God. And then the anointing hit me again. I said, yes, my dear sister, and you thought that you'd used up all your credit rating with God. Big smile on her face. She said, yes, you're right. I felt that I hadn't deserved any more from God. So I took a few scriptures and told her how magnanimous God was, and you can never deplete the resources of God, and how that God will heal her 12 times if need be, because we are at war, and the devil is attacking us all the time. When the devil attacks us, we go to God, and God helps us, and God heals us, and God blesses us, and God answers our prayers. And so then I said to her, after quoting many scriptures, I said, now will you believe for healing? Oh, yes, she said. The power of God hit her. She went down and she got up completely healed. And she was a real card. She began to jig on the platform and lift her legs and her arms and bend her back. And she was, oh, it was absolutely marvelous. The place went wild. And, you know, when the people saw that wonderful miracle, their faith went sky high. All kinds of miracles occurred. God had set that whole thing up. But I tell you, God tested my faith to the hilt, and probably the faith of everybody else. The Bible teaches that God is the answer to every human need, that God's made himself available in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to meet every level of human need. And again, Jesus said, fear not, only believe. All things are possible to him that believes. There are 3 principal steps to spiritual healing through faith. There is the Word of God. We must be standing upon the promise of God. We must have an assurance in our heart what we're believing God for is God's will. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, we must be standing on a promise of God. We must know in our heart of hearts that it is God's will to answer our prayer. And secondly, we must have implicit, unwavering faith in God and in his Word. And thirdly, there is the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Now, God exercises that. And, of course, if we do our part, then God will do his part. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, and in the 27th verse, we have where Jesus departed from there, and 2 blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. When he came into the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus said to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And they were immediately healed. Jesus was continually challenging people and urging people to exercise faith. In other words, faith will change circumstances. Don't be ruled by negative circumstances. Rule negative circumstances by faith. If you can believe, all things are possible in that belief. The most powerful force on earth is faith in God. Jesus went as far as to say in Matthew 17 that if you have faith, that nothing should be impossible to you. Nothing that's good, nothing that's in accord with the Word of God should be impossible to you. What you can conceive and believe, you can receive. Now, thirdly, God sometimes meets people's needs by natural means. Change of diet, change of climate, medicine, surgery. Some years ago, I was ministering in New Guinea, and this particular auditorium was crowded out. In fact, it was standing room only, and my back was hard up against a wall. It was a big school auditorium, a little child's pulpit, and as I moved and as I ministered, the people were all around me. This little boy sitting under this pulpit looking at me. And every time I moved, this pulpit rubbed on my trousers. I had a brand new white suit. When I finished the meeting, I'd worn a hole in each leg of my trousers. My wife cut them off and made shorts out of them. And as I ministered in this particular auditorium, I could see this man with this little four-year-old boy, and the little boy, his head was wobbling all over the place. He was so weak he couldn't hold his head up. And I found out later that almost from birth, he was so weak, they'd put him down, he'd walk for a few minutes, and then he'd fall over, and he'd have to rest. And they hadn't been able to do anything for him. When you see a child so weak and debilitated, your heart reaches out, and I kept reaching out, and suddenly God showed me what would heal him. I said, "Sir, I'll tell you what will heal your little boy. Only ever give him boiled water to drink." Within weeks, that little boy was well. 16 years later, I visited New Guinea, and I was met at the airport, a couple hundred people, and here was the father of the little boy, and the little boy was now 18 in the Bible college, and the father said to me, "Even now, if he drinks unboiled water, he starts getting ill." And so, what a simple thing. Just boiled water healed him. When I was last in New Guinea, a police chief took ill. They couldn't do anything for him. So they rang up and asked if I'd come and pray for him. As I prayed for him, the Lord said to me, "An astringent." I said, "God, what's an astringent?" The Lord said, "A lemon every morning and every night." I knew exactly what he had to do. I said, "Chief," I said, "grate the outside of the lemon into a glass, squeeze the juice in, put a teaspoon of honey, a glass of warm water, every morning and every night." 3 days later, I flew to Rabaul, where he was centered, and he picked me up at the airport. I said, "How are you, Chief?" He said, "One glass," and I was right. I get hundreds and hundreds of words like that. Some years ago, I was driving in my car, and the Lord told me to go and see a particular family. I went to see them, and I hadn't been for a while, and the father, he let me in, and he said, "Oh, my wife has come home. We brought her home from hospital to die." He said, "She has got a lining off the stomach. They can't do anything for her." And I'll never forget, as I walked into a bedroom, as I closed the door, I still had my hand on the knob of the door, and the Lord said to me, "Bread and milk, apples, and fresh air." I said, "Brother, I'll tell you what will heal your wife. Bread and milk, apples, and fresh air." She completely and totally recovered. And one day I was going in, the doctor was coming out, very nice man. He introduced me to him. With a little twinkle in his eye, he said, "Bread and milk, apples, and fresh air." He said, "We wouldn't prescribe it in 1,000 years. But he said, "She is completely healed." Then he said to me, "Pastor, you can do more for these people than I can." I said, "I can't, but God can." He said, "That's what I mean." What a simple remedy. And yet she was healed wonderfully. I was in Fiji, and this Indian gentleman came and asked for prayer. I prayed for him, and the Lord gave me a word. And it was 2 teaspoons of apple cider vinegar and a glass of warm water with a teaspoon of honey. 3 days later, he rang me. "Could I come and see you in your hotel?" I said, "Certainly." He came to see me. He said, "I'm a professor at the university." He said, "I've had a stomach condition for 12 years. He said, "I've had a few glasses of that. I'm eating anything and everything." He said, "You can see I'm skin and bone because I haven't been able to eat very much." But he said, "I'm completely healed." So God heals in all different ways. God sees the suffering, but he responds to faith. He hears the cry of the Christian, but he responds to faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Some Christians are not taught to believe for healing. They do not understand the true nature of God, that God is a God of love and faith and power and mercy and kindness. He's a God of healing. On one occasion, Jesus said, "Which is the easiest to say, 'Your sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Take up thy bed and walk'?" In other words, the faith that was necessary for their salvation was adequate for their healing. Which is the easiest to say, "Your sins be forgiven you," or "Take up your bed and walk"? God might want to heal them, but if we are not exercising our faith, then often we do not receive God's best for our lives. Some people are not healed because of low faith level. Some people are not healed because of unforgiveness. Many, many times I've been praying for people, and God has shown me they've got an unforgiving spirit. And I've asked them if they've problems, forgiving. Sometimes tears will stream down their face. I'll get them to pray a little prayer, asking God to forgive them and asking God's help to forgive, and they get healed. Resentment will stop people from being healed sometimes. Unconfessed sin. Fear. Jesus said, fear not only, believe. All things are possible to him that believes. Condemnation. Demon possession. Sometimes a person will have a demonic power, and that demonic power needs to be dealt with. Ignorance. In Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. We need to know what our entitlements are in God in order for us to believe God for them. Now, it is a fact that baby Christians get special attention, whereas Christians who have been in the way for some period of time, then they are expected to use their faith. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and we read there where God requires of the Christian to shape up. And as he shapes up, then God responds to his faith. But baby Christians often get healed instantly without using a lot of faith. But as we develop, as we grow, as we mature in God, then God expects us to grow up, become responsible for our lives, and live the life. In Hebrews 6:11, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but you imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Speaking of Abram, it says, so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And in Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of patience and endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may... ...and grace. No faith operative by the recipient of the blessing. This is not the usual... This is the unusual with God. Secondly, in spiritual healing, God generally meets people's needs in response to faith. All things whatsoever shall ask in prayer, really believing, you shall receive. Matthew 21:22. And thirdly, sometimes God meets people's needs by natural means. Change of diet, change of climate, medicine, surgery. And fourthly, if we want a miracle, we must expect it to happen. Jesus said, according to thy faith, be it unto thee. In Mark 11:24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. If you're standing upon a promise of God, you're assured in your heart God wants you to receive what you're believing him for, you can with confidence ask him for it, and then believe that he'll answer your prayers and give you the desire of your heart. Be convinced that God wants to save you. Be convinced that God wants to heal you. Be convinced that God wants to bless you. The greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation. Paul wrote, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. There's no sin too great that it cannot be cleansed away by the blood of Jesus. Some people are spiritually sick. Some people are sick mentally. Some people are sick physically. Some people are just mentally sick. Some people are just spiritually sick. Some people are just physically sick. Some people are sick in all three areas. Jesus healed people's spirit, mind, and body. Jesus sets the prisoners free. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And as Jesus said in John 10:10, the devil has come not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. Let us pray. Father, we just pray for each person that listens to this tape. We ask in Jesus' name that as we reach out in simple trusting faith, that the love of God will touch each heart, And Lord, you'll bring healing and wholeness, whatever it may be. Perhaps healing of a relationship problem, or healing of the physical body, or a mental problem, Father, or an attitude. Oh, God, help us to grow in the grace of God. Help us, Lord, to learn the principles of the Word of God and live by them, Father, that we might be constantly changing for the better, and that your love might be the dominating factor of our lives and living. We ask these things in Jesus' name, the forgiveness of every sin to the glory of God. Amen.
Message. Further anointed audio and video tapes of this ministry are available by faxing or phoning your order to 0247-399-409. That's 0247-399-409. Or write to Box 1082, Henrith, New South Wales 27511. If you would like to become one of Gordon's prayer partners or receive his newsletter, please advise your name and address when you phone or fax. It is our prayer that